Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time to check in with Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Let's get to our morning legal briefs and the Madigan trial first, Karen. Do you think it's going to be hard to find unbiased jurors?
I do, and I also think it's going to be hard to find jurors who can commit to a two-month trial, especially during the holidays. Apparently, 1,000 jury summons went out, and only 180 replied saying that they didn't have plans for the holidays or commitment that would prevent them from serving. So I think that's going to be the first thing. And then second of all, who hasn't heard of Mike Madigan, and who hasn't heard of the corruption allegations that have been running around him for the last 2 years? So, yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult to select an impartial jury here.
How solid is the evidence against him, do you think?
Well, the government doesn't lose in these cases. They're about 95% to 98% effective here when it comes to these political corruption cases. And a lot of this is on tape, and it's hard to cross-examine somebody on tape, right? It is what it is. And so the issue here is that there are so many allegations over such a long period of time, 33 different counts, all different types of allegations about, you know, passing about good legislation for utility companies in exchange for hiring certain people, you know, steering business to a law firm. You know, those types of things are different and varied. And I think that the jury is going to look at and maybe not convict on some of them, but certainly there's enough there for them to convict. So I think my guess is that there's enough for maybe a mixed verdict.
What was that recent Supreme Court ruling about public corruption? And is that something that could affect this trial?
Yeah, it came down in the summer, and it was about a Portage, Indiana mayor, and he was charged and convicted with bribery, but the Supreme Court reversed it, saying that if you get gifts after the fact, that's not bribery. Bribery has to be something where you have a meeting of the minds prior to the action that is taken. So could this be used for Madigan? They tried to dismiss a few counts based on it, and were not successful. But it could be that when the evidence comes in, the judge does use that case and dismiss some of these allegations.
We'll see. This is the week the Supreme Court sets what it views its most important cases. Let's talk about a few. First, the abortion case. Tell us about that.
Well, this was a refusal by the Supreme Court to hear an abortion case. And so sometimes when the Supreme Court doesn't hear it, that means it affirms what happened in the prior court. And this was a case in Texas where the law says that Texas hospitals cannot be required to perform emergency abortion, even to save the woman's life. And that was challenged by the Biden administration, saying we have a federal law that says that hospitals must stabilize women and do what they have to do to save their lives. And the court said, we're not going to get involved in it. We're going to leave that Texas law in effect. So, That is a little bit disturbing to me that the state can actually say hospitals can't save a woman's life.
And it's a very, very controversial issue. The court heard arguments about ghost guns. What are ghost guns? Explain that. And what are the arguments here?
The best I can tell, they're a kit. You know, you get it in the mail, and it's a kit to put together a gun. It's not a gun. Well, according to the Supreme Court, that was what the issue was. The question is, do ghost gun manufacturers have to comply with the gun laws? Because they're not selling necessarily a gun, a firearm. They're selling the parts necessary to put it together. Do they still have to be subject to those regulations for having background checks and maintaining records and marking with serial numbers? And from the arguments that were made and the questions that the justices asked, it looks to me like they're going to say that, yes, ghost guns are subject to the gun laws. It's not a Second Amendment case. It's not a right to have a ghost gun. It's the right to regulate the pieces of a gun before they become a gun. So I think, and that would probably be a good ruling, because a lot of people who are going to use guns for bad purposes go around the rules by buying these ghost guns because they're not registered.
You know, that has certainly been the case. And the court is going to hear a challenge to a Tennessee law banning gender-affirming care for minors. What is this all about, Karen?
This, I think, is a very important case because it has ramifications for other areas. 24 states have banned the use of puberty blockers and hormone treatment. And, you know, all of the American Medical Association, American Psychiatric Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they've all come out against this, saying that if these kids actually have been diagnosed and needed these drugs, they need them. Otherwise, they're going to commit suicide and have all kinds of other problems. So the question is, can the state regulate medical care for minors and the rights of parents to make medical decisions? It's a big, big decision. And I think, you know, it has ramifications into birth control, IVF, you know, because if the government can say to parents, you can't get your child this medicine, then what else can the government tell, you know, adults that they can and cannot do with medicine?
We'll see what the Supreme Court does. Finally, a lot of people have been watching the Netflix series on the Menendez brothers, and now there's talk of a possible new trial. Now, they were convicted and sentenced to life without parole, so why are they opening it? Does it have anything to do with the Netflix show?
I don't think so, because I don't know that the Netflix show was super favorable to them. But there have been allegations over the years. There's two pieces of evidence. One is the letter that apparently one of the brothers wrote to his cousin saying that he was abused by his father. And the other is a boy band member of Menudo said that, yes, the father had sexually abused him, drugged him and abused him back in the 1980s. And the question is, you know, whether or not, I mean, they did murder their parents. The question is, should their evidence of sexual abuse by the parents have been put before the jury so the jury could have considered that in what they did. And they were acquitted in the first trial. The second trial, the judge basically withdrew all of that evidence. So the question is, had they heard that evidence that the kids may have been reacting, at least in part, to the abuse, would they have gone easier on them and given them manslaughter? So the prosecutor could reduce the sentence. The prosecutor could give them a new sentencing hearing, give them a new trial, or just send them back to jail for the rest of their lives.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a Netflix sequel to the series. Karen Conti, appreciate the insights. Have a good day.
You too.